Man, he is worthy of our praise, isn't he? He is worthy of our worship. I tell you, God is good, and I want to talk about God today. I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and about our Heavenly Father. They are worth the conversation, in my opinion. So if you got your Bible, let's just go straight to Psalms 100. Does anybody know that one by heart? Psalm 100. Anybody know it by heart? A couple people nodding their head. Anybody got the guts to just quote it without your book in front of you? All right, we'll do it together then. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read with me. Read the entire Psalms and let's read it loud, okay? In the New King James. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Wow! That's a lot. That is a lot. We are going to talk today about engaging God and connecting with him in our day-to-day life. Amen? Amen. Not just that we're going to be in heaven one day and we're thankful that he forgave us our sins and we go to church and we're good people and we tithe and we give. Really connecting with him throughout our day. I got some testimonies I want to share, but I got to teach a little bit before I get there, praise God. Because I'll tell you, it's for all of us to experience. When we really think about it, Jesus deserves all of our worship. All of our praise. He deserves all of our adoration. All of it. He deserves all of it. And you better get used to it, because you're going to do it forever. I heard somebody once say, Pastor Robert, we're going to sing in heaven forever. Oh. And I looked at him in the eye, I go, you don't know God yet. If you knew God, you would be thankful that you get to praise his name. You get the glory in his presence. You get to enjoy his goodness. He is worth it. And I got to tell you, as long as we've got idols in our hearts and in our lives, God's value is lower. You may be able to say in your mind or out of your mouth, oh yeah, he's the Lord of all. He's the King of Kings. He is our high priest. We can say those words, but it's not the attitude of our inner man when we walk through our day at work, at the store, and everywhere else. Other things have our attention, and God just has a space that he has our attention in. And usually it's heightened Sunday morning. He gets more of our attention Sunday morning. Why? Because we're habitually used to giving him our attention during that time period. So we can usually get that Sunday morning hour or two pretty solid we give to him. A little bit of when's lunch going? Pastor's going a little bit over, you know, and who am I going to go out to eat with? A little bit of that, but mostly, in all honesty, we give it to God, don't we? Today was an awesome example of us being able to love the Lord and enjoy each other's company. Really, it was a really good experiment today of no fault of our own. It just happened, amen? I got to tell you, I have never in my life looked at all the people in the room looking right back at me again while we're worshiping, you know? It was a little uncomfortable at first, and I had to focus because I'm looking at people, they're looking at me, others are looking up. It was different today not having that screen up there, amen? But it was a wonderful experiment to see if we could focus on the Lord during that time or if it wandered in everything else. I only got about 70% focused today, in all honesty. There was a lot of distractions that my soul was not used to. Amen. And maybe some of you had the same experience. First of all, thank God for Larry King. Boy, I tell you what, he had all the arrows in his front when everybody else was still turning this way. Larry was the first one. He turned right around and leaned up on the pew and started singing full blast. His wife joined him. I was going, boy, if anybody gets some arrows in their chest, it's going to be Larry. He's facing the wrong way. Hallelujah. But he gave me the courage to turn around too. And then we announced it and everybody, well, pretty much turned around. But it was exciting. Huh? That's right, you did. So it was really good. The people that were in the back row that like to be anonymous absolutely weren't today. Absolutely were not. But that's exciting, you know. That's really, really good. It's a good test because I want you to know something, that sometimes we let it slip because we get stuck in a routine. But look what it says here in Psalms 100. This is what it says. It says, make a joyful, or in my Bible, shout. It doesn't say, sing a melodious song in your best voice so that everybody else can enjoy your singing. That is not what it says here. It says, shout. I want to let you know, the Lord likes it loud. And I'm not saying crank up the drums and everything, because the louder the music, no, our vocal cords. He likes the voice, the vibration of these vocal cords speaking words to him of adoration and worship and praise. He loves the sound of these vocal cords vibrating his glory. He loves it. And he loves when our hearts are engaged with our mouths, and our minds and our hearts and our mouths all line up on him. He loves it. In heaven, when the angels say, praise the Lord, I want to let you know, this is how they do it. If you say, praise the Lord, the angels go, praise the Lord! Amen. Full volume. Oh, yeah. Full volume, you guys. Listen, he doesn't just say this because it's a nice scripture to write. He means it. He means it. Listen. The world will lullaby us into a warm, fuzzy place with as little controversy and conflict as possible. We'll get into our little Christian cocoon and try to just, if we're just present in the room, we'll be transformed, bless God. That's not how it works. He's already placed inside of us the fullness of his spirit, but it has to find its way out through expression through us, that we worship him with our whole spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Amen? I am not making a correction at all. You guys are doing great. I'm teaching a principle out of the Bible that is going to help us all in our everyday walk with the Lord, because I'm going to build on this one idea. Worshiping God with your whole being. Now, not just shouting. We have to stand up and engage our bodies too. Let's look at Psalms 95. We'll go back and forth between 195 with other verses too. But if you go backwards to Psalm 195, and look what it says in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. All right, so we're singing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. That's still the Lord, right? He wants the volume of our vocal cords. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. That's an attitude of our heart as we're shouting to him. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. That's songs. Go down to 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. He wants some physical action involved. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Doesn't that sound like something we read the other day or in the other verse, 100? And the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It says that in Hebrews 2, doesn't it? brings that back up, that point in Hebrews. Listen to what he's saying here, you guys. He wants us fully engaged in connecting with him. That's what we're talking about, engaging God. Many people I know have trouble hearing the voice of the Lord, feeling the presence of God, feeling love. They can't feel God. I'm teaching you how to feel God. I'm not saying be led by your feelings. I'm teaching you how to feel the presence of God. And the presence of God comes out of your spirit through your soul and lingers in your body. Let me teach you something. The presence of God abides. That means it stays in you. Listen, it's like perfume. A little dab will do you. But if you put a lot on, what happens? It overwhelms you. No, let's just say you like the smell of it, okay? It overwhelms everybody else. Your fragrance is diffused onto the people you hug. I want to let you know I've worn some of you home a time or two. It's the same thing with the glory of God. It abides. But we have to get to the place that it splashes up or springs up, oh well, inside my soul, so that it lingers in the cells of my body, the physical flesh. Paul knew how to do it. You know what he'd do? He would pray in tongues more than us all. In fact, he wrote it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that I pray in tongues and I sing in tongues. Doesn't it say to sing a new song? Doesn't it say that? A new song. Doesn't it say in Ephesians chapter 6 about our spirit? Let me just look at that so I don't slaughter it. Ephesians chapter 6, just turn there real quick and we'll get back to this. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, where? In the Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In the Spirit, being watchful to this end and perseverance in supplications with all the saints. Being in the Spirit doesn't mean praying in tongues. You pray in tongues, but being in the Spirit means you're in His Spirit. Like the water on the beach, you're in the ocean. Okay? You can be at the beach, at the water, and not be in the ocean. Can't you? Oh, I enjoy the ocean. Yeah, how do you enjoy the ocean? Well, I like walking and the water gets on my feet and I pick up some seashells. I love the smell of the air. Okay, that's enjoying the beach. Ankle deep, presence of God. Some people like to play in the waves, but they still want to make sure they can touch the ground. Okay, I'll be out there, I'll play, I'll throw the kids up. I just want to make sure I can touch the ground. And there better not be anything on that ground that's unfamiliar or gooey and sticky, okay? And if something brushes against my leg while I am this deep in the water, I am not going to be there much longer. I'm out, okay? Some of you are all like that. Some of you can float out there, and because it's salt water and you're just fat and flesh, you can float along and you're just like the sea otter, having a good old time out in the deep water. You can enjoy it all because you're past the crashing waves and you're in the beautiful floating ocean. Each one of us has our own amount of being comfortable in the Spirit. Amen? We need to learn how to be fully whelmed, completely baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means to be completely wet, right? Fully whelmed, all the way full of His Spirit. That's a process. You can't just say you're going to do that. It's a lifestyle of moving idols out of the way, moving distractions out of the way, moving other preferences out of the way, and giving God that part of you. It's a process. Some of us need inner healing to get some rooms cleaned out. Some of us need to spank our little bottoms and make us do the things we're supposed to do. Take authority over our bodies and our flesh and make them submit to us and deal with some things that are not the holiest and the godliest and work on it. The point is this, that it's we need to get past the flesh, past the resistance of our mind, and into the presence of God. Learn how to linger there so that we can start doing some real spiritual work. Amen? So we can really manifest the kingdom of God on earth. That people will know that the kingdom of God is on this earth because they met you. And you prove that the kingdom of God is with men. Amen? Amen? But that doesn't come by just idly wanting it. You have to make it happen. You've got to be the one. Remember when I was up here holding the money up in my hand? And Jackie was swimming back and forth like the shark in the water, you know, just looking for a way to get a bite. Amen? Going back and forth until she got up the courage to actually come and open my hand and take it. God is willing that all of us have everything from him. It's available. But we have to go and get it. Why does he make us have to go and get it? Why do we have to labor for it? Why do we have to press in for it? Anything you get quick, you lose quick. How many people have won the lottery and you've heard their story within 5 or 6 years, they're back down to worse off than they were before they got into the lottery. They usually are divorced, their kids leave them, and their life goes in the toilet when they're broke after all of that. It was terrible for them to do that. But the person that saves diligently, works hard, spends wisely, is thrifty, and builds net worth, they're the ones that hang on to it. They use it for good purposes. The same with the gifts of God, you guys. The same with the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to light upon you, and then you easily get distracted and go back off into the world and stuff. Then you leave him. You grieve him. So what he does is this. He's so wonderful. He makes sure you mean it. He makes sure he can trust you to be there tomorrow and the next day and all of your next days. And if he can, he'll give you more and more and more and more. The Bible says, taste the Lord and see that he is good. If you don't really get a good taste, you won't know. You'll just say that he's good because everybody else says he's good, but you've not tasted it. So you're going into your normal day life trying to be godly, but it's really hard because you haven't really got the life and the joy of the Lord empowering you to be victorious. You're doing it on your own strength because he's absent. He's present always, but we don't know if he's present or not. We can't feel him. We can't see him. You should be able to. Paul, this is an exhortation. Paul was in the presence of God so much that he sweated the presence of God, the glory of God. He sweated the kingdom of God. That so much so that when he used a hanky or something was next to his body and that sweat got on it, that handkerchief that had his sweat on it was able to heal people. Because it's the residual of the kingdom of God in his very flesh. I'm going to jump ahead. I want to tell you a testimony. Because I want to give you some real practical things here. I've been really practicing, seriously, being in the presence of God 24/7. I'm just going to open myself up because some of you had to walk there. I'll tell you what. I never realized how addicted I was to certain things. Like thinking certain ways, habitual ways of living my day. I get up, I get my cup of coffee, I go get my shower, I drive to work. I think about these things in my day, I do my day.
I go home, I get my dinner, I turn on the TV, I sit in front of the TV, no more than 2 hours. And then I want to make sure that I at least think of the Lord before I go to bed and thank Him for my day and drift off to sleep listening to YouTube videos of teachings. I could do that and never engage the presence of God. Never engage Him Himself. Meanwhile, fully convinced that my day was a good day and I pleased the Lord. And I never even connected with Him. So I've been practicing to really honestly, between me and Him in sincerity, connecting. And the Bible says that if you hear His voice, which we read, don't harden your heart like they did in the rebellion. Do what He says when He talks to you. After all, if we are going to give Him our full life, our full attention, our full existence truly to Him. And I tell you, it's not a momentary decision. It takes a real serious commitment to do that. It's not for everybody. Like he said, some people will do 30, some people will do 60, and some people will get a 100-fold return on what they hear about the kingdom of God. Not everyone's going to fully be consumed with Jesus. Not everyone will. A lot of people are hoping just because they live this kind of half-life in the kingdom of God that they're going to have this great and glorious life with God. Listen, like we heard today, John the Baptist, who was the greatest of all of the prophets, of all of the men of God that had been so far, if one of us are in the kingdom of God, we're greater than him. Well, I want to let you know this. In the kingdom of God, anyone who's in the kingdom of God is greater than you and I can even comprehend our life being on this earth. It'll be that great. So if any of us even get into the kingdom of God, it's going to be a really wonderful thing. But I want to let you know, just like on this earth, there's levels in the kingdom of God of those that hold Jesus in high regard. There are people that are distracted by the things in this world, and they'll wish they weren't when they stand in front of him. We'll really wish we did a better job of letting go of the things and the distractions of this world and really focused on him and manifesting his kingdom in the earth. It'll be washed away real quickly, but each one of us is going to give an account for our lives that we spent on the earth. That doesn't mean he's going to crush us under his thumb for the sins. The wrath of God is not going to come to us. I want to let you know, we've been delivered from the wrath of God. But each of us are going to give an account for the way we spent our life before God. Just like the guys that got the talents. There was one talent, there was two talents, there was five talents, right? Each to their ability, they were given those talents, right? The one with two talents went out and earned two more talents, and he pleased the Lord. The one that earned five went and got five, and each one of those got to rule over that many cities because they really made good use of their time and their money. The one that only got one talent that feels like they only got a little bit of God, they only got a little, they were worried that they hid it, kept it pure, kept it good. Oh yeah, I got it. I'm holding on to it. Oh yeah, I got what you gave me, Lord. Because I know, well, there's going to be a judgment one day, and I want to make sure that I'm all right with you when I get there, because I know you're a tough guy. You're a tough cookie, and I want to make sure that when I stand in front of you, I got it together. He called that person a wicked servant. Unbelievable. He wanted them to take what was given to them and make an increase. So he was so disappointed with this person, he took the talent away from them and gave it to the one with 10. Let me tell you something. That's a really big deal, and I don't want to major on that. Every one of them were given their talents by God, and they went out and made a profit, and then they gave that back to the Lord, right? The one that got 10 got the other person's talent. That was their very own. It didn't belong to God. It belonged to them. That's a big deal.
So all the work that I've done or haven't done, that I should have done, that I knew to do, and I don't mean go out evangelizing. I mean, if I hear his voice, I obey it. That's all. Whatever I hear him tell me, I just need to obey that. But if I don't, everything that I have done up to this point, if I am the one that I get lose my talent, somebody else is going to. He's going to give it all that I built to somebody else. And I don't want to do that. I want to glorify God as God now. I want to teach myself who he is in reality and not just he's an ancillary part of my day. He deserves all of me. He deserves all of my heart and all of my attention. So let's talk about how do we do this? How do we actually do this? I'll give a testimony. I was sitting in my office doing my morning Bible study and my praise with God. And I was kind of feeling out of it a little bit. You guys ever got up to go worship God and you're kind of just out of it? You're kind of disconnected? It's easier to think about God than it is to actually worship him. And I realized I was wasting my precious time with him thinking about him instead of worshiping him. Because remember, my goal is to be with him 24/7 all the time. And I was failing. Thinking about him is not being with him. I can think about my wife, or I can hang out with her. She prefers me hanging out with her. Well, honey, I wasn't with you today. I was out jet skiing on the lake by myself, having a real good time. But I thought of you while I was doing it. I thought of you the whole time, all right? I want to let you know. That's how much I love you, all right? That don't cut it with the Lord. He don't want us just think. He wants us engaging him. My wife would have said, well, where was I when you took it out? You were in the house. I went out quietly, okay? Doesn't cut it. Got to have the relationship side of it. So I'm in my office. I think I told Bruce this. I'm in my office, and all of a sudden, I realized, my gosh, Lord, I am so sorry. I'm worshiping an idol instead of you. I'm thinking about you instead of being with you. And I got up and I forced myself to worship God because I didn't want to. I didn't feel like it. I was feeling blasé. I was feeling kind of creepy that morning. Creepy in a, not grimy creepy, but just, you know, I got to get going a little bit here. Doesn't cut it with the Lord. He wants us to rise early and get right on it with him. Get right on it with him. So I got up and I thought, what have I learned? What have I learned? What have I learned? Oh, yes. Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Be thankful in my heart. Sing praises and thanksgiving. Bow down and raise my hands and worship him. Engage my body and my mouth on 10. So here I am in my office, and I just go, Lord, by faith, here we go. Praise you, Lord! Love you, Lord! And I started going in every direction, shouting to the Lord. Felt ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Then I started waving my hands around. Then I started praying in tongues out loud, the best I could, just out loud. And then I started worshiping and swaying and working my hands and shaking my body and just really getting engaged. I said, Lord, I'm just doing this by faith with you, okay? I'm engaging. I'm just engaging. I'm waking myself up and making myself engage with you. It wasn't 15 seconds. Something started changing in the room. And I'm praising him and I'm worshiping him and I'm speaking in tongues. And he says, sing. I go, okay. Hey, he said, shout and make a noise. You know that? So I'm just going to go for it. Listen, he wants my vocal cords on 10. Not killing myself, but shaking myself out of the apathy. Being engaged. All right? And so I started shouting and singing, and so I started making up a song to him. And as I started making up a song, I started getting softer, but my heart started melting, and I started feeling it, waking up and noticing him. And then the tears started flowing, and I was in with him. And I'm singing a love song to him and just praising him, and his presence is in the room. And it was so beautiful and wonderful. Then I sat down on the couch in there, and I just start praying in tongues. And I started praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in a new song and praying. And all of a sudden, my tongues changed dialect. I mean, just an absolute change, as if I was doing it, and then he started doing it. My spirit was engaged, totally crossed over. I started praying, and it sounded like Chinese or something. It was like, that's not how I pray in tongues at all. But I just heard it, and it was beautiful, and it sounded like a language. And I'm just praying and praying and praying, and the glory of God's just filling the room, filling the room, filling the room. My eyes are watering and crying, tears are coming down. All of a sudden, English comes out of my mouth and said, "Save them, Lord, save them." Three times in that experience, it just blurted out, "Save them." And I realized, oh, I must be interceding for somebody that I don't even know in some other language. I was engaged in the Spirit, and it wasn't me trying to work. I was there doing it. And after that moment, I got to tell you, my light was on. That was one of the best showers I ever had. Hallelujah. And I didn't even touch the water. It was wonderful. I was in it. Okay, and I've been practicing this every day, 3, 4, 5, 10 times a day on getting engaged with him. Here's what's happening. As I've been doing this, the presence of God has been growing around me more. So that I walked into the store yesterday, and my wife was outside, and she says, "Honey, just run in, get it, and run out. I'm going to wait here for you." I said, "Okay." I had to get 3 items. That was it. I ran in. I get the 1. I get the 2. I get the 3. I'm walking out. Doom, 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 doom. Bang. There was a girl who was limping. She was obviously in pain. And a woman was talking to her. And I thought it was a woman that used to go here to church because I just saw the back of her. So I thought, praise the Lord, another Christian's out there ministering. Hallelujah. And off I go to the check stand. Holy Spirit goes, "That's not her." I go, "What?" He goes, "Go pray for her." I go, "My wife is waiting for me right now. Is it okay if I just..." He goes, "Now." Whoa, all right. I turn right around, and I didn't want to like be creeping up on her or nothing. So I went around the aisle so I can come face to face as I'm coming up to her so they could see me coming. And the girl's just leaning up against the aisle, and it's like her leg is hurting bad. And she's with this woman there. Girl's 14, 15 years old. So I walk up and I say hi to the woman. I look at the girl. I go around the woman to the girl and I go, "Are you hurting right now?" She says, "Oh, yes, I am." I said, "Can I pray for you?" She goes, "What?" I said, and I look over at the lady, "Can I pray for her? Is it okay if I pray for her?" And she goes, "Oh, yes." And he goes, she goes to her, "He's going to pray for you. It's okay." She says, "Oh, all right." And so I said, "What happened?" And she twisted her ankle or something, and it was just hurting very badly. So I said, "All right." And I just put my hand on her, and I prayed, and I commanded it to go. Oh, I'm telling you what, the presence of God just went whum, and was just there, just like that. And I prayed for her ankle, and I go, "How is it?" She goes, "It's better. It's much better." I said, "Well, 1 to 10, what is it?" She goes, "7. I'm thinking, that's pretty high still. Let's pray again. Got it down to a 3. It went to 7, to a 6, to a 3. And it was going all that way, but that was all she wanted. She says, "That's good, that's good, that's good." And she's looking at it like this, going, twisting her, she's moving her foot around, just looking like, I guess no one's ever prayed for her before. And I go, "All right." And I felt like it was enough, and I back out of the store I went. point is this. I would have overridden it because I knew my wife was in the car. But because I've been spending so much time in the presence of God, he wouldn't let me slide. If I hear his voice, I have to do what he says. That's part of giving ourselves to God. If we're serious that we're going to give ourselves to him, we have to do what he says, no matter what the cost. Because here's the thing, he's got it. He knows what he's asking you to do. He knows what's on your plate. He knows your schedule. He knows you. He knows the whole world. He knows it. So when he asks you, he means it. Whatever it is, whether it's being generous financially, whether it's praying for somebody. Man, I'll be driving along just on the way in here today. I said, Lord, okay, what scripture should I use? Da, 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 da. You're going to be with me. Ryan, I'm not going to be out my own on doing this. Hey, I'm telling you, still to this day, I get the heebie-jeebies when I'm getting ready to get up in front of people. I don't know why. It just is. It's the flesh. But he kicks in quick. Praise the Lord for that. So this is what he said to me. He goes, just worship me. All right. I go, but my scriptures, Lord, what's the order? Worship me now like you mean it. Whoa, all right. And I just started praising him, singing, shaking. My car was going as straight as a bullet down the road, but I was all over the front seat, praise God. He had me, and it was wonderful. I'll tell you, once we incline our hearts to him, we will prefer it. Once we get over the hump, we will prefer it, I promise. I used to dance, you guys know that, and sit-ups was my worst ex. I hated sit-ups. I wanted to throw up as I was trying to do sit-ups. It just, oh, I was so weak. It was terrible. After I did them and did them and did them and did them and did them, they were my favorite exercise because I was so darn strong. So I can outdo anybody in the room because I was just really strong. Point. As we learn how to engage God, really engage him, not just say we're engaging him, putting our time in, letting our conscience feel clear that we did what we were, not that, actually being with him, where it's a two-way connection. When we do that, after we learn how to do that, we'll be able to do it quick, easy, fast, and we'll be clearly hearing him leading us. We'll feel his presence around us. We'll know what's going on with the people around us, and you'll see your spiritual giftings just go times 10. Times 10, because you're usable. You're trustworthy. He prefers your company. Let me say that again. He prefers your company because you're making him your focal point. God loves us wanting him and being with him. Here's the thing. It's not because he's needy. It's because he has so much to show us and to teach us that he can't possibly get it all in 120 years. He can't possibly get it all in 120 years. If we were the best possible student, we couldn't get it all. That's why when we waste our time and we're distracted from him, it's hard on him because he knows what good things he wants to give us and teach us and use us for. He knows how much he really wants us to be blessed. And he needs us to pay attention to him. Amen? When we can do that, every desire of our heart will just come naturally. We don't have to labor over it. We don't have to wring our hands and fret. We don't have to worry about it. Our relationships will automatically clean right up. Because it's the presence of God that is getting bigger and bigger and stronger and more alive and active inside of us to where it goes outside of us. Eventually, you all, we will get to the place that when we walk in the room, the people that are not Christians will know it. There will be a holiness that comes with us because of the presence of God going with us. It'll just be the way it is. It's residual. It's just he's with us always. It builds inside of us. But it takes us not go in for a few seconds, go out and forget about it. Then we got to start all over again. Go in for a few seconds, get a little bit and forget about it. Go in for a few seconds, get in there and forget about it. That doesn't build. And it frustrates the believer because they're not really getting their prayer answered and they aren't getting over into the good stuff of the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
That was a good exhortation. That was a good exhortation. Praise you, Jesus. All right. So we've talked about Psalms. So the sacrifice of praise. Do I need to go through these scriptures? Let's just do one or two. Hebrews 13:15. I don't want anybody to accuse me that I don't use the Bible, because I do. Hebrews 13:15. This is what it says. I'm going to start in 14 since we don't have a screen, and I guess I'm the only one that can see it. In the beginning, oh, that Genesis 1:1, she's got up. All right. Starting in verse 14. Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city. We're talking about Abraham, right, who was looking for another city whose foundation was in heaven, in God. But we seek the one to come. We seek the city to come, right? Therefore, by him let us continually. How often is continually? That means that if you forget and you space out, you just pick it right back up again when you remember. That's all it means, okay? Continually. It doesn't mean you won't ever have a break or two in between. But once you get your mind back again, after it stops wandering and you're distracted for all the little baubles around the world, once you get it back, just go back into it again, right? So we practice just redirecting. That we would continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That we give thanks, not thanks that we have a job, although be thankful. Not thanks that we have food on the table, although be thankful. Not thanks that we've got nice clothes to wear, although be thankful. But we give thanks to his name. We're thanking him, not for what he's given us, because he is who he is. Didn't we read in Psalms 95 or 100, one of those two, that he is God. He created us. He created us. You guys know my testimony that there was a time when I was taken into outer darkness and he gave me my whole life and showed me all the things I believed and got rid of them. Long story short, at the very end of it, I was like Sally Fields on The Flying Nun as I was in this vision just floating like Sally Nun in the Sally Fields in The Flying Nun. La, 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 la. I was floating over the ocean, over the seashore, and looking down, I could see one grain of sand. There was a whole beach, but I focused in on one grain of sand, and on that one grain of sand, there was dust on the side of that one granule of sand. And I saw that I was but that dust on the side of one piece of sand compared to the majesty of God who exists. And we are formed and fashioned. We are created. He made us. He gets all the glory. He gets all the worship. He gets all the recognition. Everything comes from him. Everything is by him. Everything is for him. Everything. And we need to give him his proper due from our hearts, from our real beings. And it's not easy to do. It takes time learning how to focus our attention on God. Amen? So, we come and we lay with a sacrifice of praise. We do it whether we feel like it or not. So, because the Bible says in James 4:8 that if we draw near to God, then what happens? He will draw near to us. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? Anybody know it off the top of their head? Hebrews. And what's part B? this is cool. This is what heaven's like. The voice, the river of many voices, or many voices, the river, whatever it is. That's true. You guys were singing it. That we must have faith towards him. It's the only way to please him, to have faith towards him. And doing this, we know that he rewards us for seeking him. He rewards us for seeking him. So listen, if you knew that if you just did one thing in your life, and by doing this one thing, you can live the most prosperous, most blessed, most anointed, most liberating life possible, wouldn't it be worth doing that one thing? Once you realize that it could really give you that, I'm telling you this as the Holy Ghost is with me and Jesus is the Lord. Seeking him and finding him and spending your life with him is that. He is our eternal life. He is our eternal life. The glory of the Lord is our life. We were created for the obtaining of his glory. We're created for it, to be completely filled and owned and possessed by him himself. Amen? That's why it's called dying to yourself. It's called being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. It's your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. Romans 12:1. The least you can do is to give yourself fully to him and to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by changing the way you're thinking about things, which means by putting your focus on knowing him personally. Two-way relationship. I'm going to go a different way, and I'm going to tell you something. I've been practicing some stuff. I think Sandy's doing the same thing. I've been practicing seeing into the kingdom of God. This is why. I'm not judging anyone. I'm telling you the journey I'm on. Practice seeing into the kingdom of God. Here's what it says in John chapter 3. That unless a person is born again, or born from above, born from God, they cannot see the kingdom of God. I've been walking through my life going, Lord, I don't see the kingdom of God. I can tell you all these, oh, yeah, I see the kingdom of God in this and in this. But you know what? That's not the kingdom of God to me. That's me trying to make a concession saying what I'm doing is okay. I'm not actually seeing into the kingdom of God. Stephen, when he was being stoned, he saw into the kingdom of God, didn't he? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. You know why? He wasn't seated. He was standing because Stephen got Jesus' attention. I'll tell you that right now. Stephen had the Lord's full undivided attention at that moment because he was being stoned for the glory of God. That's why Jesus was standing up and looking right down, and he saw right through into the kingdom of God. Paul had a supernatural vision from God, so much so that cataracts formed over his eyes and he got blinded by it because of the brightness of the glory of God. The kingdom of God is available to us. But if we don't pursue it, we won't walk in it. We'll walk in this kind of half-life of supernatural things. I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm saying I am doing this. Experiment. In fact, what's your first name, Turner? Jeff. Jeff was there. We were at Epworth a few weeks ago. I'm laying on my bed in Epworth, and I'm practicing seeing into the kingdom of God. I'm practicing closing my eyes, and I ask the Lord to show me the kingdom of God. I want to see into the kingdom with my supernatural eyes, the eyes of my heart, not like this right here. Although I'm happy with that. I've had a few visions like that, that overrode the natural, but really just being able to see into the kingdom of God. Because unless you're born of the Spirit and the water, you can't see or enter it. Okay, well, I want to enter it. I'm not talking about when I die, I'll enter. I'm talking about right now on the earth. I want to enter it. Back and forth. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't it happen to him? Didn't the kingdom of God open right up to him, and there was standing Moses and Elijah, and they were talking together like it's a normal everyday thing? Didn't he tell Nathanael that he would see angels ascending and descending and ascending on the Son of Man? Absolutely so. There's a real spiritual realm that has been slightly oblivious to me. Now, intuitively, I know things are going on. But it's intuitively. I have more senses than that I would like to have activated. So I'm at Epworth. I'm on my bed practicing seeing in the kingdom of God. And I'm praying in tongues. And you know how when you close your eyes, you see the dark? Or maybe it's kind of a fleshy color. Sometimes it's lighter and darker because of stuff going on. You're seeing through the flesh, the actual skin of your eye. You know, you're looking at it. You can do that. While you do that, do you notice that you can still picture things? You can still, like if I say, picture a birthday cake with candles on it. Everybody sees it. Well, where are you seeing it at? But you do see it, don't you? But if you have to nail down right where you see it, it's a little bit tough. But you can see it, right? The eyes can see that. Okay, so that's your imagination. That's your spiritual inner person. That person can be more alert than I'm aware of right now. So I've been practicing. I'm laying on my bed, worshiping God, praying in tongues, looking at this darkness in my eyelids, knowing that the veil's been rent. I should be able to press right into here and see it. All of a sudden, in this darkness, the regular darkness that I see when I close my eyes, right in the center, this hole opened up like this. Just like that. Just went like that. And I could see right through it, crystal clear, like I'm seeing you right now. Crystal clear, and it just went whoop, and I saw right in it. And I saw, guess what I saw? Some guy snowboarding. This guy was on a snowboard going down a mountain slope, perfectly white snow, and just woohoo! I only saw it for this long. Ready? It went like this. I saw it, I recognized it, and it closed. Oh! That's like an hors d'oeuvre, you know? You go out to a great restaurant and they give you this tiny little thing to eat. You're starving and you get this tiny little taste of some food. All right? You know, all that does is make you hungrier. That's all that does. That's what he did. So I go, Lord, 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 really, Lord, I want to see something else. Let me see again. Let me see again. Let me see again. In seconds, it opens up again. Just like this. And I look. It's not the snowboarder. It's a boat on the ocean, and it's going, brrr, and I could see the white wakes coming behind the boat, crystal clear. And I'm going, whoa, and it shut right down again. I'm telling you guys, as sure as I'm standing here, there's more than we are experiencing, and it's available, but we have to believe God. We have to actually believe him and have faith for much, much more. You know, we are kind of, sort of, content, blind and naked and poor, thinking we got all that. But if we look in the spirit as to how we're doing, I don't know if we're really doing as great as we would like to be. I think there's more available. No condemnation. Hoping to whet the appetite, though. To stay in the presence of God. To do what you hear him telling you to do. And to just walk it out for more. And hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because if you hunger and thirst for the things of God, he'll give them to you. But you've got to desire, earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly, go after them zealously. Can I pick on Pastor Trey? Is that okay with you guys? I don't know if that was enough to get away with picking on him. Yeah, there was only two of you. If it was a resounding, yeah, all right. But it's not. All right, I'll pick on somebody. Huh? Okay, sports. Somebody loves sports. How can you tell they love sports? It's what they talk about. They dress in their favorite team colors, right? They do tailgate parties and parties, enjoying other fanatics, fans, and they all like to cheer. They have an instant camaraderie with each other because they're of the same mind, aren't they? And then when their team is doing well, they're shouting unto their team, making a joyful noise unto their team, raising their hands and getting on their knees and praising. I've watched it. I've watched people during a football game go down on their knees and look at that screen, being totally captivated by that screen. They are on their knees before their God. Really? I'm just trying to make a point of someone who is enthusiastic about something, how you can tell they are. You know it, right? You know it so much so that if you have a different team, you kind of just walk away if you're outnumbered. That's how it was in Pueblo, Colorado. It was either going to be the Cowboys or the Broncos. And if you're in a room full of blue and orange, you're going to be quiet if you're blue and white. That's all there is to it. Vice versa, the same thing. If we are truly, enthusiastically seeking the kingdom of God as spiritual sons and daughters, we will dress in the Spirit and in Christ. We will sing praises to Him. We will make a joyful shout and a noise to Him. We will associate with other people so that we can talk about the center focus of our hearts and get all lathered up enthusiastic about it. And we'll try to convert everybody else over to our team. Won't we? Because why? We eat, we sleep, we think, we feel, we breathe the kingdom of God. That we prove that the kingdom of God is real. Amen? Amen. Amen. I went a little bit long today, or am I not? Am I long? It's okay? All right, well, that's good, Francis. That's good. You went over. That's good. Stop now. Stop now. All right, so I want to just give you a couple of things, and I'll turn you loose, okay? Instead of shouting to the Lord, there's other ways to engage the presence of God. One is by meditating on the Bible itself. When you get your Bible, you get into your Bible and invite the Holy Spirit to interpret the Bible to your heart. You fellowship with Him and you read your Bible slowly and enjoy it until you recognize the presence of God. Then, when you perceive His presence, let Him teach you and enrich whatever verses you're reading. That does the same thing. Like a brooding hen, He'll just lay right on top of you and just bring you in and just cover you in the Word and in that fellowship. Amen? Amen. Praying in tongues, the last one. Pray in tongues loud and fervent and intense because you're getting a breakthrough. This will not scare one devil away. Why? Because my brain and my heart is not engaged in what I'm accomplishing. If I want to build myself up for the reason of being energized in a relationship with God, I have to mean it. I have to do what it takes. Get that gyro going and get it going. Crank it up and get that magneto flowing. Amen? Metaphorically or allegorically speaking. And just get your heart burning bright and then worship God as you perceive His presence. Praise and worship always precedes the presence of God. It always comes first. So I want to encourage you. It's like lifting weights or walking for the first time. Mitten over here walks how many miles a day? 2 or 3 miles a day. I don't walk 2 or 3 feet a day. Once I get in my chair, that's where you're going to find me. If I can live that, that's what I do. Praise God. 2 or 3 miles a day. This guy walks his entire golf course. All right? That's a lot of walking. But at first it was, whew. But now they crave it. They crave it. They crave it. The same with the presence of God. The more we get in and the more we experience it, the more we crave it. And the more we crave it, the more he shows up. And the more he shows up, the more he manifests, the more freedom we see in the people around us and the things happening, that the favor just blows past us, just all over us, that it makes us crave it even more. Amen? Yeah.